This is Retro Sports Radio. Visit RetroSeasons.com for more sports history.
Wednesday, October 4th, 1950. The New York Yankees faced the Philadelphia Phillies at Scheib Park in Game 1 of the 1950 World Series. The Yankees, managed by Casey Stengel in his second year as the team's skipper, were looking to defend their championship title. The Phillies, under the management of Eddie Sawyer in his first year, were making their first appearance in the Fall Classic in 35 years, having last participated in 1915 when they lost to the Red Sox. This audio is a partial recording of Game 1. The first 10 minutes capture the pre-game activities, after which the recording jumps to the play-by-play action starting in the bottom of the fifth inning, with the Yankees leading 1-0. The recording is from the Mutual Radio broadcast, featuring announcers Gene Kelly and Mel Allen.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades for the sharpest edges ever honed. Gillette's cavalcade of sports is on the air. Good afternoon, baseball fans everywhere. This is Gene Kelly with Mel Allen and Al Helfer at Scheib Park in Philadelphia, greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company as the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Phillies get set for the opening game of the 1950 World Series. This is the 12th consecutive year that baseball's championship classic is being aired. Yes, and because so many sports fans are also Gillette fans, we broadcast and telecast major boxing, racing, and football events as they occur throughout the calendar. So folks, remember, for the tops in sports, tune in Gillette's cavalcade of sports the year around. This broadcast is authorized under the broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. The scene is set. The color guard starts walking toward the center field flagpole in Scheib Park with a tremendous tradition. The band has played Take Me Out to the Ball Game, the band headed by Elliot Lawrence. And in several moments from now, another classic will be underway. The big surprise was the headline that greeted sports fans last night. The fact that the big professor from Worcester, New York, 33-year-old Jim Constanti, would get his first starting assignment in professional baseball since 1948. And his first major league starting assignment since having joined the Phillies under the aegis of Ed Sawyer when he first came up with this organization a season and a half ago. Over the season, Constanti has won 16 and lost 7, appearing in 74 ball games to break the all-time game appearance mark set back in 1943 by Ace Adams of the New York Giants. The Phillies, based upon their climactic finish against the Brooklyn Dodgers on Sunday, when Dick Sisler, son of the immortal George, hit a home run with two on to win for the Phillies their first pennant in 35 years, score was 4-1, feel now that they are loose. But the Yankees, traditionally cold and bold, feel that it won't take too much time for them to down the challenge of the so-called Whiz Kids, the Fightin' Phillies of the city of brotherly love. I think it was well put last night in the lobby of Yank headquarters in downtown Philadelphia. Jim Turner, pitching coach of Casey Stengel's Yankees, said this to me after I asked the following question. Jim, do you think it'll be a great series? Do you think it will go beyond four games? He says, what series isn't great? Four games or seven? You fellas, I know, are going to give us trouble. He was referring, of course, to the Phillies. Folks, if I were to list the really important events that October ushers in, the World Series, of course, would be right up there. Yes, and right up there, too, would be the annual drive of the United Community Chest. When you realize that 40, yes, 40 out of every 100 families in the average community receive service of some kind from one or more community chest agencies in the course of the year, it brings home the vital importance of these splendid organizations. And also, it points up very emphatically the obligation each of us has to make a real worthwhile contribution. There are various payment plans, so pledge now. Pay as you can during the year. The weather, while not entirely disappointing, is definitely autumnal. It's football weather. There's a decided breeze blowing in from left field. It is right field hitter's day. It's a pretty brisk breeze, and the temperature is in the mid-60s. As you know, over the weekend and leading up to this day, we had very warm climes. Just how much either pitcher will be affected, I don't know. Of course, Rashi has had World Series experience before. Cold weather, hot weather, what have you. Big Vic, who has won 21 games for the second season in a row, is set to go. On the other hand, Constanti, for the first time this season, displayed some sort of ineffectiveness after he had gone to the hill some 73 times, losing one game in Boston and being blasted out in another, recently at Braves Field. But, he says, once he can get his slider and palm ball down, which Mel and I will be describing to you as the play-by-play ensues throughout the afternoon, he's very difficult to hit. And I imagine that Sawyer's confidence in the young man was doubly promoted when he pitched so well against the American Leaguers in the All-Star game in mid-July out of Comiskey Park. Now, here are your official starting lineups. And for those of you around the nation, you may be keeping radio scorecards this afternoon. For the visiting New York Yankees, and two games will be played in this National League Park, whereupon it will move to the Yankee Stadium for three and back to Philadelphia if necessary for the sixth and seventh games for New York. Leading off and playing left field, Gene Woodling, W-O-O-D-L-I-N-G, Woodling. Batting second and playing shortstop, Phil Rizzuto, almost an odds-on favorite now to cop the most valuable player award in the American League. Rizzuto, the scooter, playing shortstop. Batting third and catching, Larry Berra. Batting fourth and playing center field in his ninth World Series, the immortal Joe DiMaggio. Batting fifth and playing first base, a former National Leaguer of note, a great hitter, John Mize. Batting sixth and playing third base, Dr. Bobby Brown. Batting seventh and playing right field, one of the brighter prospects in the New York organization, Henry Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. Batting eighth and playing second base, Jerry Coleman. And the pitcher for the New York Yankees, batting ninth, Victor Rashi of West Springfield, Massachusetts. He has won 21 and lost 8. For the Phillies, leading off and playing first base, one of the greater comebacks of the season, Eddie Wakis. Batting second and playing center field, Ricky Ashburn. Batting third and playing left field, Dick Sisler. Batting fourth and playing right field, the National League's leading run producer, Del Ennis, who incidentally makes his home right here in Philadelphia, born and raised here. Batting fifth and playing third base, Pudd'nhead Jones, right name, Willie Ed. Batting sixth and playing shortstop, Granville Hamner. Batting seventh and catching, though injured, he came up with a badly sprained ankle in a recent series with the New York Giants, though he is playing anyway. Just before game time, Andy Semenik. Batting eighth and playing second base, sophomore Mike Goliath. And the pitcher, of course, for the Phillies will be the big professor, as they call him, bespectacled Jim Constanti, K-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-Y. Based upon very recent rules, there will be six umpires in this game, baseline umpires, which were instituted a couple of years ago when Commissioner Chandler took over his position in baseball. And they will include Jocko Conlon of the National League, Charlie Berry of the American League, Dusty Bogus of the National League, the veteran Bill McGowan of the American League, and the baseline umpires will be young Al Barlick of the National League and Bill McKinley of the Junior Circuit. As of the present moment, the opposing skippers, Sawyer of the Phillies, who, of course, began his baseball career in the New York organization when Mr. Barrow was the business manager of the Yankees, and Casey Stengel, who in 2 years has proven that he can produce a winner after a lot of rough luck in the past with his Brooklyn and Boston clubs in the National League, are conferring on ground rules. Now, having been familiar with the Shy Park play of this season, we can tell you that most of the field rules regard the barrier in left field as well as the dugout. There is a 3-foot chicken wire that extends from the left field to left center. The crowd in the background has begun cheering as both New York and Phil's clubs approach from first and third baselines respectively. The field rules, of course, regarding the dugouts are an extra base from either side of the diamond if the ball is thrown into either dugout. A lot of runs have scored automatically because of that rule. The Phil's are lined up in their peppermint candy stick uniforms. That's a novelty this season. They have very bright red Carmen hats with white numerals and white buttons. Their uniforms are cream white with red stripes, their home team, and filled in red in strips is emblazoned across the jersey. Bright red stockings. The Yankees, of course, in their familiar traveling pearl gray and dark navy blue. Now, in a moment, we ought to have a prayer of thanksgiving, which has been instituted on this occasion, so that the folks here in our listening audience, as well as out here at Shy Park, give thanks for the recent successes in Northern Korea, as well as general thanksgiving on this great occasion, this World Baseball Classic, that we are glad to be alive and live in this country of ours. Oddly enough, there seem to be some seats in right field, but I imagine that before game time, which is just seconds away, they will be well filled up as opposing pitchers Rashi in right field and Constanti in left commence their warm-up. The Yanks, of course, up here for the 17th time, the field for the second. Now, we pause 10 seconds for station identification. And now, as we get ready to move into the last half of the fifth inning, it is my very pleasant duty and desire to introduce to you your play-by-play commentator for the remainder of this ball game. A fellow who still is tingling from that dramatic finish in the National League when he saw his Philadelphia Phillies beat the Dodgers to get into this World Series. It's his first. I hope it won't be his last. I'm sure it won't. And he's just as excited as a kid with a new toy, and who can blame him? I am too. Gene Kelly.
Thank you very much, Mel. Dillon is first man up, last of the fifth for the Phillies. Rashi in the motion delivers. And it's in there for called strike one. Overhand fastball. Dell bounced out, second to first, back in the second inning. And the count on him at the time was 1-2. No ball, one strike count on Dell. It'll be followed by Willie Jones and Granny Hamden. All right-handed swingers. Last of the fifth, score Yankees 1, Phillies nothing. Rashi takes a little bit more time than usual. From the Barrett side, for the delivery, swinging a bouncer off the plate, which hit the right side of Ennis and was called foul immediately by plate umpire Jock O'Connell. They're keeping the same ball in play, and it's a nothing and two count on Dell. Ennis is a Philadelphia-born boy, has lived here all his life, and was a great high school athlete. There was some question at the time as to whether he should turn to baseball and football, and his discoverer, a well-known basketball official, incidentally named Jocko Collins, insisted that he to baseball, and of course he's very happy that he did. He's the highest paid man on the field. Nothing in two. Deep in the box. Rashi set in the motion. Throwing high inside. Ball one. One ball, two strikes. This has been a well-held ball game. Straight baseball all the way. Sharp fielding. And as Mel has told you, the pitching has been supreme. Been standing more or less of a surprise starter, though it took the nation 24 hours to get used to it. Now the 1-2 pitch. Big one, throwing, swinging, a fly ball, fairly deep to right, very high. Moving back under the ball, Hank Bauer pounds the glove and makes the catch. That's all for Dell Ennis, a fly ball to Hank Bauer in right. One away. Now Pudd'nhead Jones. There's been a great deal of discussion around this area this season concerning his nickname. And of course it was taken up from the popular song of many seasons ago. Down around home in North Carolina, they call him Big Ed. And his right first name is Willie. And I think the best story about him is when his wife asked which she preferred, she said, oh, Pudd'nhead. That's good enough. Right-handed batter, throwing. High and away, ball one. One ball, no strike. Slow curve that time, thrown by Rashi. Fine motion. Great build for a pitcher. Seems in control of the situation at all times. One gone. Now the pitch. Swinging a ground ball through the middle, out towards center field, base hit. That's the first hit of the ball game for the Phillies. That was a through-the-middle single on the ground. It wasn't hit too crisply, but just at the right spot, wherein Rizzuto, the shortstop, and Coleman, the second baseman, had difficulty trying to grab it, and it rolled out toward DiMaggio in short center. So that's the first filled base runner in the ballgame against Rashi, who has hurled magnificently. Granny Hender hit the first pitch, grounded out, short the first, second inning, 0 for 1, steps out for the moment. Hamner is an inveterate first ball hitter, though his average of 270 was his highest in professional ball this past regular season. He bats right-handed. Infield a double play depth. Sets the pitch. Swinging, missing. Strike one. A sweep, down-breaking curve thrown by Rashi. Seems odd, I know to Mel as well as to myself and Al Helfer, that Rashi is going into a stretch for the first time in the ball game. He had hurled hitless ball for 4 1/3 innings. Perfect ball, as a matter of fact. Nobody reached base. Nothing in one. Throwing, swinging, missing. Strike two. He crossed him up beautifully that time. He came in high and hard, down around the letters with a fastball. And so Rashi, well ahead of his batting opponent, steps off for a moment. Nothing in two. He can't afford now to toy with Hamner a little bit. Hamner's a jab hitter. He takes a tremendous cut, which looks as though he's chopping down, but he levels a swing at the last moment. Leading off first base, the first base runner for the Phillies, Woody Jones. Now nothing in two stretch. The pitch. Swinging, a foul. Upstairs toward the right, near the sky deck. Around the stadium toward the top, as high as Mel and I are, behind our Gillette microphones, there's an extra steel deck near the superstructure to the right. It's used a lot for football. The Eagles play out here. But on the hall, the regular press box just tapers around midway from first around to third. Nothing in two count on Granny Hamner. Deep in the box, open stand. Infield still looking for that double play. Coleman and Rizzuto exchanging glances around the midway. Rashi set in the stretch. Jones leading off. The pitch, swinging. A short fly ball to right field. Bauer racing in, now pausing under. Grabs for the putout. Two gone, and Bauer has hauled both of them in. Andy Semenik. Semenik had 24 home runs this season. And considering the fact that he got a very late start due to the death of his mother and the fact that he was a holdout for a while, compiled an amazing record. His best in the major league, 288 batting average. As Mel told you, he'd been favoring a very badly injured left ankle. So at the close of the season, it was sprained on him in a crash at the plate at the Polo Grounds in New York. Score 1-0, New York over the Phillies. Last of the fifth. And as interesting an opener as you could find. Jones edging off first. Rashi checks. Delivers. Swinging. A slow hit ground foul just to the right of the plate. And like a cat, Berra is after it. Tosses to the umpire, Jocko Conlon, who keeps it in play. Jocko was an American League performer in the outfield for the Chicago White Sox and now is a National League umpire. Nothing in one. Rashi rubbing up the wall. Set to go. He has a lot of time, a lot of room. 1-1 margin now. Very good, though close. Pitching has been great. Infield orthodox now. Push back a little bit. Facing Semenik. Set to go. Rashi pitches. Inside high. Ball one. One ball, one strike. Two gone, one on for the Phillies. Last half of the fifth inning. With the Yankees leading 1-0. The sun is trying its doggone to come out here, north side of Philadelphia. 1-1. The pitch. Swinging a sharp single through the hole to left field. In between Rizzuto and third baseman Bobby Brown, zipped out to left field for the Phil's second hit of the ball game. Holding at second base, Willie Jones. Well, it took the Phils 4 1/3 innings to try salvage Big Vic Rashi, ponderous right-hander of the world champion. And now they have put two together, so sandwiched between a couple of outs. Two gone and two on. Medium fast runner at second, slow runner at first, and the batter is Goliath, who sent Woodling back toward the wall in left field for a put out in the third, swinging and taking a foul. Took a vicious cut that time, and umpire Cameron got it very, very badly near the wrist and right forearm, and time is four. That's the second time this afternoon that we've had something resembling injuries, and Jocko, a game performer, looks as though he is very badly injured. That ball was hit with such impact it knocked the indicator out of his right paw. At this juncture, we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System. Back at Shy Park in Philadelphia, Gene Kelly with Mel Allen on Gillette's Cavalcade of Sports, the 1950 World Series. Since Goliath, upon the injury to umpire Conlon, was up there with two runners on, the tying run at second base, the potential lead run at first base, Sawyer sent the hurry call to the Phils bullpen in left field, where right-hander Russ Meyer, who had been heating up throughout the struggle when Constanti showed some signs of ineffectiveness in the early part of the game, begins throwing to bullpen receiver Ken Silvestri, himself a former Yankee. Trainer Frank Wiecek and Gus Marsh came out from the Phils and Yanks dugout to look over Jocko. And Jocko broke a left shoulder blade. He's going to go toward the Phils dugout right now. The crowd gives him a hand, and I think only in a World Series, Mel, would you find the umpire being given a round of applause down there. Jocko's been a game performer and actually operated with a broken toe on his right foot and a busted clavicle, left side, midway through the season, and yet did not miss a day. Unsung performers out here. I think he got himself a whiff of smelling salts as well as a quick drink of water. I don't think Jocko wants to miss this series any more than the ball players and our broadcasting crew up here. So he's going to go to work again. That was a ticking foul which glanced off Yogi Berra's mask and then went right on to the lower right forearm of umpire Conlon. Mel noticed that the ivory indicator for balls and strikes was knocked out of his paw. Set to go again. Phils now in a threat, their first real one of the game. Nothing in one count on Goliath. Low average hitter, 234. Long ball hitter, though. Jones off second, Semenik off first. Sashi set, delivering. Taking high, inside, ball one. Pass ball. One ball, one strike. Two gone. Last to the fifth, Yankees leading 1-0. Sun now is almost coming out. Not the best weather of the day so far. Rashi working quickly. Delivering. Outside, ball two. Now you can understand, of course, readily, why Meyer is throwing fairly sharply in the bullpen. Should Goliath get on, they might or might not have a pinch hitter for Constanti. 2-1, the pitch. Swinging, missing. Strike two, fastball, delivered high outside. Two ball, two strike count. Goliath, originally hailed from Yatesboro, Pennsylvania, but when Mel told you he became a Benedict in August, he decided to move over where his wife had resided, in Cleveland, Ohio. So both Ohio and Pennsylvania claim this son today. Square count, even up, two balls, two strikes, two gone, two on. Big pitch, swings and misses, struck him out. The payoff got Goliath for Rackey's third strikeout of the ball game, and a great clutch pitching job by the big right-hander. So on Goliath going down swinging, the Phillies are retired in the last of the fifth inning with no runs, two hits, their first of the game, no errors by the Yankees, and two Phils, Jones and Semenik, left on. Five inning totals. New York, one run earned, three hits, no errors, three left. The Phillies, no runs, two hits, no errors, and two left on. And now at the midway point in the ball game, the sun comes out to more or less bless this ball game. That's a personal message from Dame Nature. And throwing in the bullpen right now, well, I can see that Meyer has sat down and Constanti is throwing to the reserve catcher. of the Phillies, Josh Lopata, big boy from Detroit. Manager Stengel is going to send up the Yankee clipper, Joe DiMaggio, to be followed by Big John Mize and then Bobby Brown, whose double eventually turned into the only run of the ball game. Got a good-looking friend of ours sitting down. We're going to talk with very shortly. Tim Semenik was on the base pads at the time. He was a bit delayed coming out of the dugout, and now the Phillies square away on defense. On to DiMaggio, full court left. DiMaggio, that familiar open stance, a pitch to him, outside low, ball one. On your totals, make that correction from three, left on base to five. Yanks got two left on in the first inning and three in the third. 1-0. Pitching. Ball two, low and away. That was Constanti's pet delivery, a slider. It is not a slider in the popular conception of pitchers who try it, or what they call the old-fashioned high school curve. We'll try explanations later. 2-0. Strike one call. Now, that slider came in a bit high, but got the letters on the outside of Joe. And it's now two balls and one strike. First man up, top of the... Constanti in the motion, throwing, swinging the thing. He threw him tight that time, and Joe tried to pull. He missed it. Strike two. 2-2. On deck, Johnny Mize, just beyond the on-deck circle to the right. 2-2 pitch. Constanti delivering. Swinging a half swung on ball that time toward the left, which lazied itself back toward the Phillies dugout. Still 2-2. New ball in play. Score 1-0, New York. Infield moved over almost on a shift since Goliad is at a sharp angle at second. Two pumps by Constanti, throwing. Low and outside. The slider missed the mark. Ball three. 3-2. High pitched voice of Frankie Constanti, Frankie Corsetti, I should say, resounds around the arena here. Full count. Big pitch. Swinging. A line drive, deep toward left, going foul to the upper stands and left. That was just about the best hit ball of the game. But it went foul. And the Yankee clipper really leaned into that one, cutting from the heels. DiMaggio, though 35, has made a grand comeback. Remember, he was hitting 240 around this season and wound up above the 300 mark. Again, 3-2. Constanti throws. Inside, ball four. The ball broke down well, but way inside, Constanti walks his fourth man of the game. One intentionally, and that's the second time DiMaggio's been tapped. He was put on, you remember, in the third inning. Two times Woodling has walked, two times DiMaggio has walked. Now the big cat, John Mize, batting left-handed, 0-2. Slow pitch, high inside to the ponderous first baseman. Ball one. He flied to right in the first and popped out to third with three on in the third. Constanti on the stretch, DiMaggio leading off, nobody out. Pitching, swinging, a twister toward third base, staying fair. Jones, under it, pounds his glove, makes the catch. Mize pops out to third baseman Willie Jones. One away, and DiMaggio checks back in at first. Now Bob Brown. He has the one extra base hit in this ball game. A zipping double just inside the line, rolling down toward the bullpen in left field, where the Phillies mound call works out in relief. Brown has a choke grip on the bat, batting left-handed. Pitching him, strike one call. That was a screwball. Down and away to a left-handed swinger. Nothing in one. Bob fly to right in the second. And then he swung on the first pitch thrown by Constanti for the double in the fourth. Score 1-0, New York, top of the sixth. DiMaggio at first base, one away. Nothing in one count. Constanti now takes a little bit more time. Quick throw to first, and DiMaggio's back in plenty of time. Jones was moving in that time. They play him fairly shallow, straightaway hitter. Pitching, way high and inside. Ball one. Though Constanti has walked four men, he hasn't really displayed bad control. That hook of his has to be around the plate, and it's a matter of scant inches. 1-1. Pitching, swinging, a line drive toward right, and it's moving in and makes the play. That ball started out as if it was going to drop down and kept rising. The wind now is variable, and though for the most part we had a brisk breeze blowing in from left, It has died down somewhat with the sun coming out, although it still favors right field hitters. Two men out on Brown's line drive toward right. DiMaggio still at first base, and Henry Bauer, who hit the longest ball of the game for a deep put out in center field, at least 400 feet away. Back in the fourth inning, 0-2. Ball one, high inside, slow curve. Henry bounced out short the first for the second out in the second, and fly to Ashburn deep in center in the fourth. He was one of the Yankees' 300 hitters during the 1950 campaign. 1-0. And Sandy throws. Hank swings. A grass cutter to third. Throw to second for the fourth. In time. And the side is retired. Final out for us from the top of the sixth for the New York Yankees went third baseman Jones to second baseman Mike Oliott. And in the sixth for New York, no runs, no hits, no field errors, and one man left on. At the end of 5.5, score, the Yankees won, the Phillies nothing. Don DiMaggio says the Gillette Super Speed Razor gives him the slickest shaves of his life. Ralph Kiner calls it the handiest razor he has ever used. Yes, and here is Eddie Robinson, outstanding first baseman of the Chicago White Sox, who says,
"Man, if you want a razor that is a razor, get the Gillette Super Speed Razor. Believe me, it's tops in every way."
Tell us more, Eddie.
Well, in a nutshell, it's beautifully designed and well-made, and mighty easy to use. Particularly, it gives a fellow the swellest shave ever.
Men, the Gillette Super Speed Razor changes blades instantly, cleans instantly, and skims whiskers off smooth as sailing. You'll enjoy better looking, more refreshing shaves by far. Ask for the Gillette Super Speed Razor set. You get the razor, a 10-blade Gillette dispenser, and a serviceable styrene travel case. A big $1.75 value for only a dollar. Jim Constanti, who the boys on the club call Houdini. This fellow has an odd outlook on things, a very effective one, I should say, concerning his record this season. He believes that nobody should make a mistake, at least of all Jim Constanti. And his record just about bears out that he doesn't make very many of them. He has given up the double to Bob Brown and the fly ball score. The one run that makes the marginal difference in this ballgame. Jim bounced out weakly to the mound in the third inning. 0-1, batting right-handed. Rashi set to work. Rick throws. Jim swings and misses. Strike one. Rashi, they tell me, had a bit of arm difficulty toward the close of the campaign. But he doesn't look as though there's anything wrong with him today. Nothing in one pitch. Swinging, missing. An even faster ball. Strike two. Rashi has stand free. And here comes the sun. It's beautiful. Nothing in two pitch. Throwing. High and away. Ball one. Rashi's control has been so great that chunky Yogi Berra has virtually caught him in a rocking chair this afternoon. The Yankees lead 1-0. And those goose eggs are galore for the Phillies right now. Last half of the sixth. 1-2. Leaning forward. Big pitch. Throwing. Swinging, missing. Struck him out. Ball appeared to have a bit of a wrinkle on it. And Constanti goes down as Rashi's fourth strikeout victim. One away. Now the top of the Phil's batting array, Eddie Wakeman, with one man gone and nobody on. Last half of the sixth. They are calling for the sun specs out there, especially Coleman at second and Hank Bauer in right, and I think the margin center. Virtually every outfield post is a sun field here at Shy Park. Eddie Wakeman's the batter, time call for the moment. And more specs are being brought out. Woodling, who became slightly injured, is moving in from left field as the Yankee bat boy races out. There's just no guard from the sun. Late afternoon, the wicked rays come down over the roof where we sit, and the right fielder really has a tough time. Actually, the rays are more severe. I should say maybe about an hour from now, or even 45 minutes than they would be right now. But here is a beautiful day right now, though still a bit cool. Wind continuing to blow toward right. Yankees leading 1-0, first game, 1950 World Series. Last of the six, set to go now. Rashi pitching, Eddie Wakeman. Picks inside, ball one. Eddie fouled out to Berra in the first. That was when Woodling was hurt. Count ran 3-2 on him, and then he grounded out to Jerry Coleman at second in the fourth. 0-2. Swings left-handed. Rashi throwing. High. Ball two. That's fastball. It's an amazing thing what they've done with Sarah. He came up, he was just a stout, clumsy kid. Bill Dickey worked on him. There was never any question about his hitting. And I might say he looks mighty graceful down there. 2-0. Big one. Trip is good. It's a strike one call. Take was on. And it's 2-1. Brown playing cautiously at third base. So there is nobody on. Left side moves in on the infield, and the outfield generally is straight away toward left. 2-1. Ball three. Low and away. Changed up on him. Giving you an idea as to Rashi's effectiveness, this is but the second time in the game he has worked the count as deep as this, and the only fellow to do that before was Wakeus. 3-2 in the first. Now he's 3-1. The cripple is due. He throws. Ball four. That was a high outside pitch. And the Phils have their first base runner on via the walk. Consenti has passed for DiMaggio once intentionally. The Phils first got to Rashi in the fifth, but their rally came too late. A Jones and Semenik singles. Now a man on. One down. Yankees leading 1-0. And the infield as a whole moves in on speedy Richie Ashburn, batting left-handed. 0-2. Strike one call. Vic caught the corner of the strike zone. Outside to the left-handed batter. Richie bunted out, pitched it at first in the first, and then lined out right to DiMaggio in the fourth. 0-2. No ball, one strike count on Rich. Toehead from Tilden, Nebraska. A gee whiz, boy. Gee whiz. Isn't that great? Constant ready smile all the time. Nothing in one. Pitching. Wide. Ball one. Rashi has paced himself very well. And I noticed that while he was quick pitching, for the most part early, now with runners on, he realizes that just with a one-run margin, he's got to be cautious, but not too cautious. They have moved up very much more so than they would be on the ordinary batter, since Ashburn has shot out of the gun along the first baseline. 1-1 pitch. Swinging a blooper to short center field. DiMaggio gets a good jump on the ball, charges in, pounds his glove, makes the catch. That's all for Richie Ashburn. Short fly ball to center to Joe DiMaggio. Two gone. Wakeus holding it first. Dick Sisler. He received the most tremendous ovation when his name was announced over the public address system at the start of the game. But he hasn't done much. He's bounced out to Rashi, and he's struck out swinging on a fine inside pitch to him with a count 1-2 back in the fourth. Wakeus remains at first. Score 1-0, Yankees last of the sixth. Rashi stretches. So, swinging a high pop toward first. Calling for the ball, Johnny Mize right near the bag, under it, and makes it. An easy pop fly retires the Phillies. Put out being made by John Mize at first base. Last of the sixth inning, no runs, no Phils hit, no Yank errors, and one Phil, Ed Wakeus, left on. Sixth innings, the Yankees, one run, three hits, no errors, six left. The Phillies, no runs, two hits, no errors, three left on. Well, Mel, did you have any idea that the pitching would be as sharp, particularly considering the fact that Constanti was a reliever all season?
Well, I had a good idea that Constanti, if he had his control, would be difficult for the Yankees for this reason. And it's the same reason that Eddie Sawyer started in today, among others. Of course, the absence of a great guy like Curt Simmons has hurt the Philadelphia pitching staff. But the other reason being that during the course of the regular season, it was a pitcher who threw the type of stuff that Constanti does that could beat the Yankees better than anyone else. And as long as he's had his control pretty well today, you figured he might be tough. And as far as Rashi is concerned, he always has been a great pitcher. And when, as in the case of most pitchers, he's got his control, he's going to be a tough customer.
Of course, nobody's hit many great shakes today, Mel. That's for sure. The Armed Forces Radio Services carrying this broadcast around the world today. As moving into the top of the seventh inning, the stretch ring for the Yankee fans, Gerry Coleman, 0-2, batting right-handed, and he looks outside. 1-0. The fellows in Tokyo, Berlin, Vienna, Tripoli, Labrador, Guam, many others, having this broadcast relayed to you via shortwave signal. Hope you're enjoying it. 1-0. Well up in the box, Coleman. Constanti throws. Ball 2. Toward the strike zone, but below it. 2-0. Jerry, of course, has the honor of batting in the only run of the ball game. He sent Sisler back deep enough for Brown at third to score with one away in the fourth inning. And that's all she's written. 1-0 New York. 2-0 pitch by Constanti. Strike one called. Slow breaking pitch toward the outside. 2-1. Hamner deep soda talking it up at shortstop. Both infields a lot of pepper today. 2-1. Swinging, slow hit ground ball. One hop taken by Jones at third. Soda first in time, but the throw was high and wide. And steady Eddie Wakers had a kind of dance off the bag, moving to his own left that time to make sure to put out. Third to first, one away. And now Rashi. You can expect some cheers for this fella. First, here at Jai Park, it's predominantly a Philadelphia throng today. So that the applause was a little bit better than token. But there's no question about the job he's done. He has a hit in two trips. That's right-handed. Well up in the box. Constanti set, firing. And it's high inside. Ball one. One and all. One guy, nobody on. Pitching, swinging. Slow hit, ground foul toward Frankie Corsetti at third base. A lot of fellows will tell you Corsetti was given a whistle for a voice. He's got the highest voice I think any wigwagger has in the game today. And what a great ball player he was. He's been in a lot of these before. 1-1. Rashi waiting. Constanti throwing. Swinging. A zipping foul toward the lower deck in right field. Strike two. Out of play. On deck, Gene Woodling, who at least is probably the most battle-starred warrior here today as far as this game is concerned. He rammed right into the concrete out and left early in the game. 1-2. Big pitch. Swinging. A ball hit along third baseline. Staying fair. Up with a Jones. Long throw to first. Not in time. He drops the ball, and it may be an error on the throw. Since the ball was low in the dirt. I think Jones was anticipating a foul. Well, he had to hurry his throw, which was true toward the bag, but low. And Wakis had to dig it out and then drop it. That is the first error of the ball game. You charge it on the throw to Willie Jones at third. So Rashi has a life. If you are keeping score on a radio scorecard, it would be error on five. One down, one on. Leadoff man Woodling, two walks, and a ground ball play. First baseman Wakis to pitch against Constanti. Jim Loston both in the first and third. Very odd stance, feet close together, deep in the box, batting left-handed. Pitching, strike one goal. That ball broke away from the left-hander. Top of the seventh. This ball game has given the fans little to cheer about as far as the heavy artillery. Just the one run. Swings and misses. That was a real down-breaking pitch. And he put all of his Worcester, New York strength behind that one, that's Constanti. He threw hard. And though the ball did not travel fast, it certainly broke well. A dazzler. Nothing in two. At first, Rashi. Pitching. Swinging a line drive toward left center field. In there for a base hit. Maybe more. Ashburn charging the ball makes a fine play to hold Rashi at second base. He had a charge to his own right and made a fine throw. About Ashburn, the league felt that he had the weakest throwing arm of all center fielders in the National League. But he proved, of course, especially in that great play in the climactic Brooklyn game, that if not powerfully strong, certainly accurate. It held Rashi at second. Now you can see where the error figures in this ball game. It moves Rashi along the second base, and of course Woodling is the base runner at first. That is but the fourth Yankee hit. Now Scooter Rizzuto, Pepper Potts shortstop, batting right-handed. Outside low, ball one. There isn't much strike zone when you throw to this fella. Bullpen activity now for the Phils in left field. Right-hander Russ Meyer. One ball, no strike count. Two Yanks on. Rashi at second. Whittling at first. Pitching and swinging. A foul and a fly, which goes upstairs along the first base line. I noticed that Phil stepped back that time and tried to punch the ball toward right in an effort to hit behind the runner, particularly the man at second base. Rashi can run pretty well. Big, fine athlete. 1-1 count on Phil. Stepping out. Time called. Shadows of the first base stands now falling on the infield. The rest of the field is really sunlit. 1-1 pitch. Swinging. Ground ball. Foul by inches. Boy, that was really a thriller that time. And the crowd, you could hear, held its breath as it rolled just inches shy of the bag along the third base. They don't waste too much time with baseballs that go foul in the World Series. They keep that fresh horse-eyed in play consistently. And Santa goes to the rosin. He's starting to show some signs of work, at least. Rushing perspiration from his brow. And, of course, his glasses will fog up at times. Getting a little bit more warm down there than usual. Big pitch coming up. He stretches. He throws. He swings. A high pop fly. Jones moving near the bag. Automatic put out. The automatic is on, and Jones will get credit for it. With runners on at first and second at the time that Rizzuto cut, there was only one away. So the automatic was on. Anyway, Jones squeezed it for the second out. Now, Yogi Berra. This fellow is getting to be the Vince Barnett of his day in baseball. I think he's more quoted than any other ball player today as far as the facts. I particularly like that one about insurance down there in spring training, Mel. I think he and Joe Page are talking about. Well, we'll leave that one for the book sometime. That's one of those dinners after the season's over. Two gone, left-handed batter. 0 for 3. Deep to right on a fly to left and a foul to the catch. Inside low. Yogi was consistently above the 300 mark all season. And very heavy in the run production department. Two gone, two on. Out of the seventh. Big pitch. High and away. Ball two. All the while, Meyer is going through the stretch routine in the filled bullpen in left field in case Constanta gets himself in any further well of hot water. Rashi continues to hang on at second. Very loose. And at first base, Woodling, who got the fourth Yankee hit. Nothing in two count. On Larry Burr. He checks second, goes to the plate, swings. A zipping foul to the lowest stand in left field. Strike one. Ball out of play. It's the tenth moment now. You see, the pitching has been so tremendous here. At the one-run margin, why, it looks bigger all the time as the game she rolls along. Some insurance by the Yankees now. Could ice it, you see. 2-1. Big pitch. Swinging. A ground ball right to Akers. He's going to make the play himself and does. That's the third out in the seventh inning for New York, which was set down with no runs, a hit, an error by the third baseman Willie Jones on a throw on Rashi's ball, and two Yanks left on. 6.5 innings. Score, New York Yankees 1. Happening. Score, New York Yankees 1, the Philadelphia Phillies nothing. Fans, to enjoy utmost shaving satisfaction day in and day out, take the advice of Eddie Robinson of the Chicago White Sox and get a modern Gillette Super Speed Razor. Ingenious one-piece construction makes this the most convenient type of razor money can buy. The Gillette Super Speed Razor is a precision instrument, not a gadget. It changes blades instantly, cleans instantly, and shaves like a charm. There's nothing to take apart or put together, nothing to jam or clog, nothing to waste your time or try your patience. You get slick-looking, comfortable shaves and save money, too. For Gillette's double edges mean double economy. For the biggest shaving value ever offered, buy a Gillette Super Speed Razor. You get it with a 10-blade Gillette dispenser and a serviceable styrene travel case. All in all, $1.75 value for only a dollar. With Mel Allen, this is Gene Kelly in Gillette's Cavalcade of Sports, the first game of the 1950 World Series, which has rolled along in a tremendous pitcher's duel for 6.5 innings. Before the first batter up in the last of the seventh for the Phillies, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System. Back at Shy Park, the applause and cadence start in the background. Mostly still rooters, of course, at Shy Park. First two games here at Shy Park. Next three, and the third of the three at the Yankee Stadium, if necessary. And, of course, if the series goes beyond five games, back in Philadelphia. Dell Innes, who the leading hitter of the Phils throughout 1950, and the big RBI man, hasn't done much so far. Coleman made a fine play on him in the second. Jerry going to his own left to throw him out. And Dell lost it to right field in routine fashion back in the fifth inning. He is 0-2. The Phils have but two singles, those by Jones and Semenik in the fifth inning. Rashi set, so Innes, low, inside, ball one. 1-0. The Phils have not been a tremendous hitting club this season, but invariably they have come from behind. 1-0. Yankee defense, pat on a pull hitter toward left. 1-0. Wide, ball two. Rashi completely unnerved. Oh, the crowd roars on almost every delivery now. Decides to take his own time and rub up the ball a little bit. Hikes at his shoulder, loosens himself up. 2-0 pitch, set, throwing, swinging a foul. Went for the cripple and picked it back on the screen behind the plate. Strike one. Nobody out and nobody on. Last half of the seventh. And the score remains New York 1, the Phillies nothing. DiMaggio strolling around out in center field. Very unconcerned about it all. As soon as that ball meets that, though, he's on a run. 2-1 count. Throwing, swinging. A blooper toward right, now getting height. Bauer with a lot of room, a lot of time. Moves in under and makes it. And it flies out to right. One down. Puddenhead Jones, who has one of the two singles accumulated by the Phils. Not much of an accumulation thus far. Constanti, on the other hand, has allowed the Yankees four. One, a big double by Bob Brown, around which the Yankees scoring centered in the fourth inning. That's when the run was scored. Jones bats right-handed, deep in the box. Now she set to work, delivering. Strike one call, fine fastball. Uniquely, Jones was discovered by a former Yankee organization man, John Mead, who is now director of player personnel of the Phils. Nothing in one. Wide and high on a second fastball, ball one. One ball, one strike, one gone, nobody on. Score 1-0, New York. Pausing for the sign from Berra. The target up, the pitch. Swings and misses. Strike two. Even Jones was at a loss in the second half of the season, especially the last month and a half, as to why his average dipped down. He lost 60 points in about the final 6 or 7 weeks of play and started hitting a 265 of the season. 1-2. Swinging a foul upstairs toward the roof along the first baseline, completely out of play. And the Yankee bullpen, the old pro, Johnny Hupp, for defensive measures, is starting to heat up for Casey Stengel. Mize, of course, can still hit that ball, swing that bat. But Hupp, a little bit faster on his feet, would be inserted in late inning, just as Mayo might go into left field for Sisler for the Phillies. Rashi shakes off a couple of signs, nods on the next. The 1-2 pitch, throwing, swinging a fly to short center field, very high. It gives DiMaggio plenty of room to move in. He says he has it, and he does. Jones flies to Joe DiMaggio in center. Two gone. Few Phils have met the ball solidly against Rashi. And the deepest ball hit by any one of them was Goliath's bid for the distance back in the third inning. It was the second out, and it gave the crowd a momentary thrill here. But Gene Woodling backed up near the gravel protectory, which is about 5 to 7 feet deep, and warns the outfielders of the oncoming fence. Here is Granny Hamner, 0 for 2. Ground ball is short, fly ball to right. Batting right-handed, swinging. A foul behind the plate. Bella's going to give it a try. Runs near the screen and can get it. It lofts down just where the screen tapers off the bars of the upstairs boxes. Right behind the plate. Foul strike one. Billy Johnson, one of the two Yankee third basemen, moving toward the bullpen. Would that be another possible defensive measure, Mel?
That's right, Gene. Casey Stengel likes to play the two platoon system at first and third bases in the late innings of a tight ball game, figuring that Hop and Johnson at first and third, respectively, will help the team defensively.
Johnson and Hop join each other down there. Count nothing and one on Hamner with two gone, nobody on. Right two calls. I noticed today that Rashi has not made any pitches too true down the alley, as they say. He has been off on corners, sweater high, around the belt, throwing tight, away, tossing the batter up, keeping him off balance. Score 1-0. Yankees leading, last of the seventh. A wonderful, wonderful ball game. And now the sun comes out to make it complete. Crowd in a hush. Rashi in the motion, throwing. Swinging a foul back upstairs just to the base of the press coupe. This ball game is having tremendous coverage today. Ball came down again and went into the on-deck circle, Yankee territory, first base side. Note now that Rashi is slowing up between pitches, falling upon his reserve in the late frame. Nothing and two, throwing. Slow curve, and he ducks under and away from the pitch. Waste pitch, ball one. When you look in the fielding averages, you'll find that Hamner had 46 errors to Rizzuto's 12. They're looked upon as the outstanding shortstops in both leagues. Two entirely different type ball players, though. Scooter getting the jump on that ball, getting rid of the ball quickly. Now Rashi, after shaking off one, set to go. One and two, big pitch. Slow curve, too high inside. Ball two. Matter of fact, Hamner will smile when he tells you, well, by golly, I can get that ball going to my right and going to my left, but I have a lot of trouble with the ball hit right at me. And Scooter, well, he's well named. He's just about the most valuable player in the American League this season. That's what everybody says, and the odds are very, very sharp that he will be selected as such. Two and two. Hamner giving Rashi the battle. Square count pitch, throwing. Swinging on a high, wide pitch and fouling off downstairs on the screen. Yankees tally their one run in the fourth inning. A Bobby Brown left field double and consecutive fly balls by Hank Bauer and Jerry Coleman. The latter scoring Brown with the only run in this ball game. Still two and two. Even up. Outfield shifted straight away left. He throws. He swings and sends a very, very long fly ball deep toward right field. Bauer going back and makes a fine catch against the wall. Henry Bauer drags that one in. A big track to bases. One of the finest fielding plays of the game. He had it all the way, but got a fine jump on it. And remember, in order to prevent his own crashing in, he propped himself against the boards right near the right field arch standard, which is approximately 350 feet from home plate. So Hamner flies deep to right on a nice play by Hank Bauer. And the Phillies are retired again in order in the seventh inning. Nothing across, no hits, no errors, none left. Seven innings, the New York Yankees. One run, four hits, no errors, and eight men left on. For the Phillies, no runs, two hits, one error, and but three left on. Constanti made the trip out to the mound, not knowing that he would go at least nine innings, twice during the season. He did it once in Pittsburgh on a memorable evening. It was a hot, clammy evening. And it was an odd ball game in which the Phillies had come from behind to tie up. Then Semenuk hit a home run in the 10th. And Big Slug Kiner, who was here today, by the way, of Pittsburgh, equaled it. And then they rolled on for 15 innings. Cliff Chambers of the Pirates and Constanti of the Phillies trading pitch for pitch. Constanti singled in the last of the 15th to help his own cause in going on to win 9-7. That was one of his jobs. Now he faces DiMaggio, top of the 8th. The Jova takes strike one call. a dipping ball that cut the knees on the outside corner. Joe, 0-for-2 officially, passed intentionally back in the third. Foul to first, and a fourth, or I should say 0-for-1 officially. He was walked twice, once intentionally and once on 3-and-2 and a six. So the count now is 1-and-1. The next pitch was wide. Pitching wide again. I noticed that Constanti is throwing almost consistently a breaking ball to Joe. He got him on a tight pitch once for a strike, but Joe eventually walked in the sixth. 2-and-1. The big one, gotta be good. Swings, a high, twisting pop, third base side. Jones moving near the bag, right on the line, and takes it just inside the line in third territory, about 3 feet in front of the bag for the putout. DiMaggio pops out to third. One man up and one man down for the Yankees in the top of the eighth. Joe DiMaggio. Now, John Wise. It'll be interesting to see just how long Wise remains in the game. The one run imposes larger and larger as the game goes along. Swinging a slowly hit ground ball, a twist towards second, Goliat up over the first in time. That ball had a lot of sidewise English on it. It started out toward the mound and kept twisting away near the bag at second. And Goliat had a move to his own right and pick up this twisting ball and didn't beat Mize by very much. Second to first to play. Two up, two down. Top of the eighth inning, 1-0 ball game. Not a thriller by any means, just the fact that the fans sit far forward on the edge of their chairs to see what's going to happen next. Here is Brown. There was another bid. It was a foul ball, and it was hit almost exactly the way his double went down the line in the fourth inning. Strike one. Bobby, 1-for-3, but that one, he's the big one in the game, the double. Led off the fourth on the first pitch. He has a pair of flies to right, the two putouts. 1-for-3. Nothing in one. Yankees lead, 1-0. Two gone. Two slow pumps now. As he rocks, he throws. Low and outside. Ball one. A ball and a strike on Bobby Brown. Dr. Bob Brown from San Francisco. Leaning in now. 1-1 delivery. Ball two. The screwball broke too far outside. The accomplishment of this young man who's standing in the batter's box right now is very rare indeed for a game as confining as baseball throughout its approximate 6 months. So you've got to give him a lot of credit. 2-1. Pitching, swinging. A high, chopping ball back to second. Willie out with a lot of room. Puts them out in plenty of time. Three up, three down. Top of the eighth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. 7.5 inning score. The New York Yankees 1, the Phillies nothing. Year after year, Gillette Blue Blades are first choice among men the world over. That's because no other kind is as sharp, as easy shaving, as long lasting. Men, for shaves that make your face look and feel it best, you need the world's number one razor blade. Today, Gillette Blue Blades. You get Gillette Blue Blades in the familiar original package of 5 for a quarter. To enjoy extra convenience at no extra expense, we recommend you buy them in the Gillette dispenser that deals the blades out unwrapped. It also has a built-in compartment for the safe, permanent disposal of used blades. The 10-blade dispenser is 49 cents. The 20-blade size, 98 cents. The regular price of the blades alone. Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades for the sharpest edges ever honed. To the last of the eighth inning, Johnny Hutt moves into the game. And, of course, he's more or less of a surprise performer. There was a kind of a late trade deal in which Jack Mayo and Jocko Thompson, who were called up from Toronto when Simmons went into the Army and Nicholson was sidelined with diabetes. So Stengel said, well, give me Hutt for Hendricks. And Tommy, of course, is sideline, and John inserted on the roster. Also at third, Billy Johnson. So the inner defense for New York charged up for perhaps a desperate finish by the Phillies, who trail by a lone marker. H.O. Double T, John Hutt. Now in the bullpen, Meyer begins warming up so that toward another end of this ball game, it may well be that Sawyer will decide to lift Constanti for a
consider. Johnson for Brown, Pop for Myers. Now Semenuk for batter. He has one of the two hits. Swinging, missing, strike one. Semenuk was a pull hitter consistently before this year. Then he opened his stance and started punching the ball to right. I noticed that Bauer is not playing him too much over toward left as they ordinarily would. He has a very wide open stance. Aimed toward the third base side. Nothing in one. Wide of the plate on a sidearm crossfire. 1-1. The right side of the infield sees Coleman pretty deep, near second. Rizzuto and Johnson fairly orthodox since Semenuk is a slow runner. 1-1. Swings and misses. Strike two. High fastball. Rashi seems to have Andy's number. Well, Semenuk was born in West Virginia and lives in Tennessee. He is an idol around the Pittsburgh area where he attended high school, Tannenberg and UCA. All around great performer. New York Riders referred to him as Grandpa Whiz. 1-2. Rashi winding, throwing. Third misses outside for ball two. Dick Rashi getting hotter as the game proceeds toward the end of its regulation distance. Last half of the eighth. Semenuk will be followed by Goliat and possibly a pinch hitter for Constantine. Fred Sanford warming up in the Yankee bullpen. Right-hander. Even up, 2-2. Pitching, swinging a lazy pop in playing territory. Pop racing under the ball, near his dugout, under, and Johnny grabs it. Semenuk pops out for hop. And I imagine Mel has had a lot of opportunities to stay in that this season, especially in the latter stages of the campaign. Hop was acquired from Pittsburgh, and is a fellow with tremendous experience in these kind of games, especially with the St. Louis Cardinals, Boston Braves. One away, on the pop to Hop, foul territory. Goliath, deep fly to left, and a strikeout swinging on the fifth inning. Batting right-handed. Second baseman leading in, taking high around the eyes, ball one. Last half of the eighth inning. Just one lone marker in the fourth. As Rashi and Constantine have hooked up in one of those stupendous pitching duels. 1-0. Swings and misses, strike one. Rashi, you'll note, has the shadows just behind him. And toward the plate. And he's blowing that dark one in there right now. Dick Whitman, a former Dodger, who is appearing in his second state World Series. Last year with Brooklyn, this season with the Phils, is moving out of the dugout as a pinch hitter for Constantine. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Strike two call. Rashi is throwing it on. And his job today has been one of magnificent patience. He has rarely been behind, I think just twice in the game, and that was to wake us. He has walked but one and allowed two singles, spanning four. 1-2 ahead of Goliath. Yankees leading, 1-0, last of the eighth. Now Big Dick sets for the big pitch. Throwing, swinging a foul, back on the screen behind the plate. Still 1-2. There haven't been very many foul balls dipped into the stands today, so they're much coveted. And the crowd is scratching in here. Battling for those very, very valuable souvenirs. Sanford continuing to throw for New York and Meyer for the Phils in respect to bullpen. Now the count again, 1-2 with a new ball in play. In the motion, pitching, swinging and another foul, staying alive. Just got a pitch and the ball hit the top of Barry's glove, skimming away. We had a couple of injuries of apparently minor nature in the game. Woodling to lead off in the game and then Conlin when Goliat was starting earlier. That came in a very, very important fifth inning. But just about the only threat that the Phillies have had. Two hits, and that's all. 1-2. Swings and a zipper right back to Jerry Coleman at second base. He smashed one right back to Jerry, and Jerry went into a physical training knee-bending exercise. Just as easy as pie for that put out. Two up, two down. A liner to second. And now Constantine is out of the game. Dick Whitman will bat for him. Through the season, Whitman had a 250 batting average, but as a pinch hitter, he hit an even 300. He's a left-handed straightaway hitter from Portland and Coburn, Oregon, where he's an off-season cutting mate, he tells me, of Bobby Doerr of the Boston Red Sox. He is deep in the box, batting left-handed. Rashi faces him. Dick cuts the foul that twists its way just above our Gillette microphone. We sit looking right down the first base and right field foul line, just off to the plate, slightly to the left. Nothing in one on Whitman. Constanti thus has hurled eight very good innings. The run was earned and batted home by Coleman and scored by Brown in the fourth. And Jim allowed all told four hits. He walked four, and behind him one error was made, which did not figure in any scoring, of course. Nothing in one to Whitman. Rashi winding, delivering. A pitch low in the dirt. That's just about the wildest pitch that Rashi has thrown. Overhand hook. Real jug handle. 1-1 count. W-H-I-T-M-A-N. Whitman. Fair outfielder. And a pretty consistent pinch hitter. Last 3-8 two gone. Nobody on. Pitching. Swinging. A fly ball. Hit very deep toward right field. Ball going way, way back. Close to the wall. He makes the catch. Boy, that was the longest bid that the Phillies had put in quite some time. A fly ball deep to the wall to the right of the scoreboard in right field ends the inning for the Phillies in the eighth. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. Eight innings, score. New York one, the Phillies nothing. Men, for modern shaving comfort and convenience, get a modern Gillette one-piece razor. This razor combines instant blade changing with double-edge economy and superb shaving performance. Only Gillette offers these three big advantages. Buy a Gillette one-piece razor. There are several models, and each includes a handsome permanent travel case and a generous supply of Gillette's blue blades. We pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System. Tempestuous Russ Meyer of Peru, Illinois, has come on to face the New York Yankees in the top of the ninth. Here's a fellow that is a throwback, at least as far as his characteristics, to the famed Rube Waddell. He's been tossed out of a couple of games this season, but he wants so badly to win ball games that he'll tell you, "I was only out there trying to win." And he's had some brushes here and there, but he's had good breaking stuff in the clutch. And Sawyer has gone right along with him. As a matter of fact, it's possibly a tribute, again, to Sawyer on the fine job he's done with his ball club this season, taking comparative youngsters and flipping them up to the pennant dash. He's a right-hander and features a screwball and has one of the toughest motions to face. He seems to twist one way and another, an octopus delivery. So he replaces Jim Constanti, who hurled eight innings, allowed four hits, won a big double of Brown, walked four, struck out none, and the one run was earned. You can say, of course, that the reliever, Constanti, didn't pitch well. His mates haven't hit Rashi, and Rashi, of course, has been superb. Now, Maya, in the ninth, to face Hank Bauer, and it's called strike one. He throws very few straight balls, this fella. Curves and screwballs. Ground ball is short, deep fly ball to center, and a final out fourth in the sixth, third to second. Has on Hamner and Whitman. 1-1. Pitching, swinging, and getting a foul. Zip back to the plate. 1-2. On deck, Gary Coleman, and of course, Rashi. Oh, I suspect we'll get a great hand from this capacity audience at Shive Park. Sanford stays warmed up for the Yankees in right field. 1-2 pitch. Sidearm curve, too close. 2-2. Meyer's record on the season was 9 victories and 11 losses. It was quite a come down for him after having triumphed 17 times in 1949. But in the spots where they needed him, he came through. 2-2. Swinging a fly foul toward the lower stands and right. And reaching up for it, the fans get what the Army calls a dry run. That thing went right down the concrete runway. Some youngster made an air dash for it. 2-2. Meyer taking time. Of course, his big job is to stave off any further Yankee threat. With a one-run margin, New York leading. Square count to Henry Bauer. In the windup, he pitches. Ball three, too low and outside. That was a dipping curveball. Big Husky Hank, the ex-Marine. He can run, he can throw, and he can hit. Full count. Swing runs out. In the motion, the pitch. The swing, a slow hit ground ball toward third. Up with a Jones, it gets away from him. He loses the handle and it goes perhaps as an infield hit. We'll wait and see on the official. That's a base hit. A stretch on which Jones tried to charge the ball, a topper, and it got away from him, going for a hit. So the leadoff man, Bauer, gets a very important stretch. Off the third baseman, Willie Jones. That, in all, is the fifth Yankee hit. All have been singles, but for Brown's double in the fourth inning. A runner on, nobody out, and the batter is Jerry Coleman, 0 for 3. He, of course, has wrapped home the only run of the game. Slender second baseman, batting right-handed. Meyer throws inside low, ball one. Infield was looking for the bunt. Wake is dancing in from first. Jones rushing in from third. Goliad, of course, moving to his own left, ready to cover first in case. Score 1-0 New York, the one run in the fourth inning. And the man who produced it is up there now. Nobody out, fast runner at first. Meyer taking a lot of time, nods on the summoning signal. Blind right-hander in the set. Power leading off. Power breaks, the pitch, the swing. A hit and run was on, but the fly lost itself out to right center field. Ashburn going over and making the first put out. Richie Ashburn hauls down the hit and run bid in right center field. Center fielder making the put out. One away. Now Rashi. There may have been better pitch games by Victor Rashi throughout his honorable career, but not very many. And I'm pretty sure Mel will back me up on that one. In the bullpen, rookie Bubba Church, a right-hander, warming up for the Phillies. One on, one out. Rashi batting right-handed. Coming around, a bunt misses. Strike one. A dipping ball. And Vic, I noticed that time, kind of tried to nub at it, holding the bat up high with his right hand. Nothing in one. He stretches, comes around a bunt. There's one right back toward the mound. Meyer up with it. One play. First base, Goliad covering in time. Bauer, who's a real fast runner, wasted no time and got down there with only one play allowable to Meyer, and that was to first base. The play is scored. The pitcher, Meyer, to the second baseman, Goliad covering. So it moves Bauer down a scoring position at second. There are two men gone on the sacrifice, which is the second successful one that the Yankees have pulled off this afternoon. And two men are gone. Woodland. Been on base three times, and he's played a gallant battle today, particularly in view of a painful injury. Semenik motions with his glove to move toward left. I don't know whether he caught Sisler's eye or not, but anyway, they're playing him straight away toward left. Two men out. Woodling, in that very unique stance of his. Feet close together, angled off. Meyer in the big stretch. Kicking, throwing. Strike one call. That ball had a lot of spin on it and rolled out of Semenik's glove to the left of the plate, but the runner at second, Bauer, held on. Nothing in one. A 1-0 ball game. The Yankees leading. Constanti started. Went eight. Hurled well. Out pitched by Rashi by just a couple of hits. No balls, one strike. Meyer's nickname is the Mad Monk. Nothing in one. Throwing, swinging, missing. He threw the screwball, and he really broke that hook off. It's the pitch, of course, thrown with the wrist breaking in. Meyer steps down toward his own left, and then throws at an odd angle away from a left-handed batter, Woodland. His through ball a little bit different than Constanti. Nothing in two. Way ahead. A pitch. Swings and sends a lazy one in front of the plate. Up with it. Seminick grabs it. Goes to first. In time. Good fly. Catch of the ninth. So the Phils do it in the regulation distance. They must face the Narwhal finish to keep it alive. In the ninth inning. No runs. One hit. No errors. And one man left out. At the end of 8.5 here at Shy Park in Philadelphia, the Yankees won, the Phillies nothing. Amel, there's one thing I noticed. Should the Phillies stay tie the game up, I imagine that Stengel would have at least sacrificed a bit of power by having inserted Hop, who is a consistent hitter, but who, of course, does not hit the long ball like the Big Cat does. As well, how would the hitting of Johnson and Brown compare? Well, of course, neither Johnny Hop nor Billy Johnson can hit the long ball that Johnny Mize can. But Hop may more or less make up somewhat for it in a tight ball game with his speed, his ability to drag or bunt, beat it out, or to line out a base hit. And Bill Johnson can hit a long ball. He's a rugged guy in the clutch. But of course, you always like to have that big guy up there. He certainly is more of a threat. The top of the Phils batting order in the bottom of the ninth. Cambridge Eddie Wakeford, 0 for 2. Foul to the catch of Berra, ground ball to Coleman at second, and a walk, the only one issued by Rashi in the sixth. Jones and Seminick with singles, and Wakeford with a walk. And otherwise, Mr. Vic Rashi has been perfect. As a matter of fact, he didn't have to be any more perfect than that because the Phils have been scoreless. And this game takes on the similarities to last year's opener between the Dodgers and the Yankees. When Tommy Hendricks' home run won the opener against Don Newcomb of Brooklyn. Now Wakeford, batting left-handed. Rashi in the motion, delivering. Inside, ball one. Now you can expect a steady roar in the background, especially in the stands surrounding our microphone. Phils fans will try to get on the opposing pitcher late in the game if their favorites are behind. Ball two. Berra complained a bit on that pitch and shook his head, talking with umpire Conlon. It was a fast pitch which just missed outside. 2-0. So it went to nothing, New York. Nobody on, nobody out. Last half of the ninth inning. Pitching. Strike one call. Right down there. The wind continues to blow toward right field as 30,746 look on. Kind of a disappointing crowd for the opener. 2-1. Strike two call. Rashi crossed up Wakeford. He was looking for a fat one, and Vic came across, nicking the outside corner above the Wakeford's knee. He'll be followed by Ashburn and Sisler, the three left-handed batters in the Phils batting order. 2-2. Even up. In the windup, he kicks, he throws, he swings, and puts the foul right below our Gillette microphone. Hear it? Mel Allen did not have on his fielder's mitt that time. And he was a little bit fearful about trying to get it barehanded. I was a little bit fearful about getting it, period. You didn't have that Birmingham Brian on, boy. 2-2. Still alive. Pitching, swinging, and getting a foul off umpire Conlon's chest protector. We might add, Mel, that the young fellow warming up in the Phils bullpen is from Birmingham, was warming up, Bubba Church. And I don't think there's anybody that could probably explain better than you why they would call him Bubba down there in Alabama. 2-2. Last of the ninth, and he's leading by one. 1-0. Rashi set in the motion. Fires. Wide, ball three. Three balls, two strike count. The heat's on. Swing runs out. Three times he's run very deep, all on Wakeford. The big pitch.
swings, a zipper to Rizzuto, a nice grab, a throw to first, in time. And it almost pulled Johnny Hop off the bag. It was a well-hit ball, but the scooter was playing him perfectly. I've never seen Rizzuto play before today, and the way he gets the ball away is tremendous. He doesn't throw the ball with a great degree of speed, but his motion for getting rid of it is tremendous. Wakis grounds out, short to first, one down. Now on Ashburn, the Yanks' inner defense on the left side moves in, particularly Billy Johnson at third base. Hop and Pullman are back, about orthodox. Ashburn stepping in, 0 for 3. Strike one called. Rick took a full cut after the pitch was delivered, and more or less as a practice swing. The outfield pushed toward left. Left fielder Woodling very shallow on this young man. Grounded to the pitcher, line of the center, and a fly to center, 0 for 3. Nothing in one count. Rashi delivering. Swinging, a zipping foul, grounded right behind first base coach Dusty Cook. Rebounds out there, and right field line umpire McKinley throws it out of play. Nothing in two count. Well, of course, the Yankees entered this struggle with better batting averages. More. One run, that's the margin. A double and two fly balls. Back in the fourth. 0-2. Beresteyn, Rashi pitch. Swinging, another foul. Back upstairs on the screen. Still nothing in two. Ashburn, you'll remember back in 1948, was a blazing rookie threat in center. He led the league in stolen bases and hit over 330. Then he bogged down as a sophomore. But has come back in his junior year as a real threat. Not a long ball hitter, of course, by any manner of means. Nothing in two. Ready for the pitch. Throwing. High inside. Ball one. One ball, two strikes. I don't imagine the Yankees have played any better defensive ball than they have today. Particularly Bauer in right field. He's one of those fellas that doesn't care what's in his way. He went and got him. 1-2. Big pitch. Swinging, a zipper down to first. Hop grabs it, runs to the bag, in time. Good play by Johnny Hop. Boy, that ball just about knocked him down. And therein, my good friend Allen notices the defensive move made by a manager's single pays off. Whether Mize might have gotten that ball, I don't know. It was hit just inside the line. And having gotten away from the first baseman, might have been a double. But Hop was right on him and ran to the bag for the unassisted putout. Two up, two down. First base unassisted on Ashburn's ball. And now, the last flickering hope for the Phillies in the last of the ninth inning. Dick Sisler, 0 for 3. Has not gotten the ball out of the infield today. Batting left-handed. Wide of the plate, ball one. One ball, no strikes. Rashi taking a lot of his good old West Springfield time right now. Right-hander, ready to work. Pitching, swinging, picking a foul. Strike one. No doubt that time that Sisler was cutting from the heels and going for the board. His good power is toward right, though he does have that now famous home run in left field in Brooklyn the other day. He was pulling on that ball. And I noticed that the outfield has been moseyed over toward the right. 1-1. 1-0, Yankees lead. Two fills down, last of the ninth. Pitching. Strike two call. Outside corner pitch. If Rashi has made very many bad pitching moves, they haven't been too evident to these eyes. I don't know whether Sisler was looking for that pitch or not, but it certainly caught the strike zone at the right corner. Two down. And the 1-2 count on Sisler. Swings the bat nervously, waits for the Rashi pitch. Here he comes. He swings and misses. He struck him out. The Yankees win the opener of the 1950 World Series. And Barrow leaps in the air, holding the victory ball, rushing over toward Vic Rashi to pound his back and shake his hand. The glum crowd, mostly Philadelphia fans,
will file out quietly now as Sisler went down on strike for Rashi's fifth strikeout victim. Saw him down in order with no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. My final totals read for New York, one run, which is earned, five hits, four off Cincinnati, and one off reliever Meyer in the ninth inning. The Yankees...